We have a pretty full agenda to cover today, and we're going to move forward with the agenda. Okay, Michael, what's next? You know I don't have that memorized just yet. Got it.
That was all on me. Implication. Now, Larry, would you jump in and take care of that for us?
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful once again just for the opportunity to come before you with head bowed in thanksgiving and gratitude for all of your many blessings and your gifts. We thank you for our very lives and for our health, Lord, and we just ask that you would continue to be merciful and gracious to us, Lord, as we go through this coronavirus pandemic. We are praying for the health of our church and for all of its members and friends and guests. And for those who may not be able to come online, we just pray that you would continue to comfort them and take care of them. We do pray for several of our members or several of our friends who have particular health issues going on. We pray for Marilyn's mom, Mrs. Flo Powell, as she is in the hospital in Virginia, Lord, and we ask for your angels of healing and mercy for her and for her family. And we pray for Johnny Burks, who is hospitalized and may undergo surgery today. He is the son of Trevia Harris. And we pray for Missy Lewis, who was hospitalized last week and underwent surgery and is recovering. So God, we know that you are able to do exceeding and abundantly far beyond anything that we could ask or even conceive. We thank you for this opportunity to gather, Lord. Even as the virus continues, we are grateful for this opportunity to meet in cyberspace and to hear your word, Lord, and to give you praise and honor. We ask that you would bless Pastor Marilyn as she brings the word, Lord. We are blessed by the preparation and the study that she has done and the inspiration that she has received from you. And we just ask that you bless her, that the word may go out with power and with unction and strength, and that our hearts might be fertile ground for the seed of the word, and that it might take root in our hearts and bring forth fruit 30 and 60 and 90 and 100 fold. Lord, we pray for those who may be sick among us, Lord, and those who maybe are undergoing grief or bereavement. God, we ask that you would both bring healing and comfort to those. We pray for the rulers of our country, Lord, for our President Donald and our Governor Jared and Mayor Michael. And we simply pray that you would guide them, Lord, and that they would have the good sense to look to you for wisdom. We ask that everything that is done in your name today be done decently and in order, and that you would bless the gifts of your people that they might be used to further your kingdom on earth and in this particular corner of Denver, Colorado. We thank you, we praise you, and we bless you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let everyone say.
All righty. Thank you, Larry. And we'll move into our announcements next. And so what we have, it's not clicking yet. There we go. Wednesday night Bible study. As always, Larry, did you have an update for Wednesday night Bible study?
We did have a really good Bible study on Wednesday. We will continue in the 10th chapter of Romans. And anyone that is welcome, please feel free to send me an email or give me a call, text. And we will add you to the invitee list. And I think Michael is going to be adding that Zoom meeting invite somewhere in the announcements or elsewhere. But yeah, until then, feel free to reach out. We have been truly blessed by our study of the Book of Romans. Thank you.
Right. I'm gonna place that in the chat window here shortly.
Okay. That's it.
Thank you, Larry. As always, team, family, prayer requests. Please place your prayer requests in the chat window. We already have several in there already, actually three that I've found so far that Larry has went through. And don't forget your tithes and offerings at www.antioch.life. We did have a short outage window last week during that time, so we got that corrected and we're good to go. As always, remember the Vincent family. If you like to support them in any kind of way, you can reach out to Alicia and provide that support. And I just want to say that there has been a good amount of support to the family so far. I'm just leaving an announcement up there for now. So if you feel the need or the desire to support the family, you still can do so. And then underneath all this is our contact information for the leadership of the church and any kind of technical issues you may have with Derek and myself. All right. I think that covers everything here. And Marilyn, you are up.
Okay. Are we up for song?
Yes, we'll go to our first song now.
Please.
Like we are not able to hear it.
Larry, you said you weren't able to hear it?
No.
No.
Hang on. Oh, I guess I didn't. That's on me, folks. Sorry. Well, let's just start here again. Well, I don't think sure going. Did y'all see the share?
No, I cannot.
Okay. I think I went off on this. Missed it. There we go.
If you could start it again, that'd be great.
It will start again. Yep, no worries.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. I am getting it in the right position here. There you go.
I lost the share again. Oh, there it is. Okay, it's back.
Worship tonight, come on, put your hands together. Need another reason. I just need a chance to show my appreciation, 'cause you love me like no one else can. I dare not let this moment pass me by. When I think of you from my soul, this song cries. Father, you are worthy of my praise for the rest of my day. Your holy name, you'll always.
Thank you, Mike. Can everybody say, I know I can't hear you, but can you just say praise the Lord and just give the Lord a hand praise, because he is so worthy. Even though we're in virtual space, he deserves all of our praise forever and ever and ever. I love this song by DeMarcus Kelly, such a great song. And so we're going to move forward at this point. Roz, I don't know if you can still hear. We're not having any problem here. Perhaps it's because of the room that you're in. I'm not sure, but I don't think anyone else is having a problem. The audio is okay on this end. Anybody else having an audio issue? I don't think so. Nobody has said so. So we could hear. Oh, okay. You can hear now. Great. Okay. All right. So we're going to move forward with part two of our sermon on Psalm 8. I'm going to ask Mike if you would bring up Psalm 8, the entire psalm, because we're going to read the entire psalm. We stopped at verse 2. And in fact, we're continuing with verse 3 and through the rest of the psalm. And so I would like to begin reading Psalm verse 8, a wonderful psalm of David and a great psalm of the church. The psalm reads, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Move it up. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you again for this day, God. I thank you, God, for all that are that have joined us for this worship service and have joined us to hear your word. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to hear from you, because, God, we know that this day was not promised to us. And so, God, I just thank you for your grace that extends to us every moment that we are here to do your will and to move forward in ministry. I thank you, God, for allowing me to be here today. For God, just blessing me with your word today and allowing me to speak truth. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Now, last week, we did part one of the sermon. As I said, we talked about verses 1 and 2. And in verses 1 and 2, we talked about the fact that God is a majestic God. And we talked about what majesty of God kind of looks like. And we also talked about God being sovereign, God being creator, God having made everything. And so we talked about a sovereign God and a majestic God. And so this week, we're going to continue in the sermon, but we're going to take it a little bit in a different vein as we go through. So I'm not going to talk about some of the things that a lot of preachers talk about, but I'm going to make the sermon a little bit more relevant for the times. And so in this third verse, when David says, when I consider what you've made, when I consider your work, when I look at the stars and the moon and the sun and all the things that you have set in motion, he says, who am I? Who am I that you're mindful of me, that you're mindful of us? Who are we that you care so much for us? When I look and see some of the constellations that are set in place, who am I? How do you care for such a small thing when I look at such a vast array of what you have created? And so for verses 3 through, Mike, can you move it up for me? Verses 3 through 8, I just didn't want to misspeak. Verses 3 through 8, David is talking about something here. And I'm going to start off with dominion. I'm going to start off with dominion. Because as you can see in verse 6, it says, you made them rulers over the works of your hands. He's talking about us. You put everything under their feet or under our feet. Every flock, every herd, every animal of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all those things. You gave us dominion. And so we've got, again, three things. And I'm going to include what we discussed last week. So we've got a majestic name. And we talked about the name of Yahweh. We talked about a sovereign God. And last week I showed you some videos of children praising the Lord. Some could not even walk. Some not even out of the neonatal intensive care unit, lifting his hands when his mom was singing, "My hallelujahs belong to you." And so this week we're going to begin with the remainder of the song, which is, again, dominion. In the psalm, again, David looks out over the heavens as he marvels at the fact that such a big God loves and cares about him and has given him the creation for his enjoyment and to care for. You see, this could only come from a very gracious God, because I am sure David was aware, and as I am aware, and you are aware, that we did not earn the privilege. Amen. Now, although God gave us dominion over his creation, and he did that in the book of Genesis when he first created Adam and Eve, but because of sin, we got a problem. Because we think we have dominion over one another. Like we can rule over one another and consider certain people to be inferior. It is infuriating when we abuse one another and kill one another because we have a lack of understanding that we were created in the image of God. And we don't understand that every human being on this planet has worth. So instead of us turning toward God, we think that there are other systems that are better that we can embrace. And so again, people think that they have dominion over one another. Even some people in our government have thought that they have dominion over us, not realizing that they're set here to be leaders, but they are fully accountable to God. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? They tried to do it without God. And there is no trace of these cities who thought they had full dominion over themselves. There's no trace except what we know happened to those cities in the Bible. So they were burned beyond anything that we will ever find. So if you could take anything from this section on dominion, what David knew, and what I think the Lord wants us to know, is that dominion comes with responsibility. And that responsibility is first to our God and not a political party or any other idol we choose to worship. And so with dominion then, we have to understand the will of the Creator. But how do we understand the will of such a big, big God? How did David understand the will of such a big, big God? And remember, David was a man after God's own heart. Someone who had an intimate relationship with God. Someone who understood God's will. He understood the things that God had done for him. He had been told the stories of his ancestors like Moses. He knew the things that God had done for his people, and he knew what God had done for him. But here we are in our contemporary time. And so how do we understand the will of such a big God? How do we understand what it means to have dominion? We understand by his word, because by his divine power, guess what? He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And you can find that in 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. With dominion then comes responsibility. So I'm going to stop here and just say, last week I made a statement about Black Lives Matter. And some of you were really listening. I don't know why I think y'all aren't listening. You're here every Sunday tuning in to God's word. And so some of you were really listening. And I was asked to discuss the issue with a little bit more clarity, basically without saying a whole lot. Last week, I said, I think that we need to think about the movement and what it represents before we buy it hook, line, and sinker. I said, you know what? We might want to get out there and protest. Certainly social injustice is an issue, and I'm not saying that it's not, but when you look at the broad movement, we just might want to begin to critically think through how far we want to go with the movement. When we start hearing certain things on television, when we start looking at certain interviews and we hear certain things about the movement, should cause us to think, is that part of our Christian worldview? What do we accept and what not so much? So, in the remainder of the sermon, I am by no means an expert, but as a Christian believer and pastor, I still have a responsibility to do the work and to impart truth so that you, so that I can be more informed. So David then discusses this idea of dominion. And he, maybe not perfectly, But for much of his life, he understood that he had a responsibility to God. A responsibility to God. At times when he could have exerted his power, at times when he could have done things like kill King Saul, he did not, because he respected the image of God that the king, that King Saul was created in, and would dare not take his life on his own. He did take lives at the direction of God. And for that reason, for much of Israel, Israel knew no defeat. They knew no defeat when he followed God's will. So I want to kind of move on. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the roots of Black Lives Matter. And like I said, please understand, I think I get to it further down in the sermon, but I'm not saying that we don't support. I'm not saying that we don't protest. There are a lot of things I'm not saying, but there are some things that I think that we need to be a little bit more clear on. And so I hope that this gives a little bit more clarity around what I had announced or what I had said last week. So the anti-racist movement is rooted in atheistic Marxism. The anti-racist movement is rooted in atheistic Marxism. Do we see it in the crowds today necessarily, or in the young people that are protesting, or anyone who's protesting? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But the movement is seated with people who have that thought. Karl Marx and Frederick Engels were the father of modern communism and the founders of Black Lives Matter can be called today neo-Marxists. That's N-E-O, neo-Marxists. They all see life as a series of struggles between the dominant and the disadvantaged. They all see life as a series of struggles between the dominant and the disadvantaged. Their notion of social justice is based on something called critical race theory. Critical race theory. The term was coined under a Marxist context. Marxists believe that capitalism can only thrive on the exploitation of the working class, who are the disadvantaged. So they seek to divide society into two, the white privileged and everyone else, by race, social, sexual, gender, and other factors that distance the disadvantaged from the dominant. This is what capitalism seeks to do. And so, as part of the disadvantaged, that is why you see some in the movement want to include LGBTQ+++, Native Americans, and brown people. But I would argue that these are different issues. They have different, very different issues, even different social systems, and that Black lives stand alone with a unique history that has brought us thus far. There are reasons in our history for why we are enduring the injustices that we have today. So Black Lives Matter, though, would argue that these groups are driven further and further apart by the white privileged folks. My next topic, white privilege. How did we get to white privilege anyway? What are some of the ways that we got there, or at least one major way? White privilege was perpetuated by Charles Darwin, who established the order of the races. And guess who was on top? White Europeans. Every race except white European was savage, including Australians, Mongolians, they would be Asians now, Africans, Indians, South Americans, Polynesians, and Eskimos. So based on Black Lives Matter, the movement would say that in order to move toward a just society, this dominant group, this white privileged group, has to become part of the lived experience of the disadvantaged by dismantling society, and then we need to redistribute wealth and property. But the movement would say the goal is not possible because the dominant races on top will eventually exterminate the disadvantaged because of systemic race issues. So here's the kicker. The disadvantaged have to rise up and overthrow. So what do we do with this? You know, we bought Charles Darwin's theory, hook, line, and sinker. So maybe it warrants a dismantling of the theory, because you all know that it is completely untrue. It's even a conversation or even part of our educational system. And so maybe we need to completely remove it from our educational system and dismantle it, because it becomes part of the foundation that people still believe in. People still believe that we are descended from apes. For real, we have a creator that loves and cares every human being and has given us dominion. Each one of us has dominion over his creation, but not dominion, again, over one another. So this theory of evolution is massively flawed, and it's a lie. And it does not support a Christian worldview where everyone has equal rights because God gave them to us. My next point is Christian capitalism. And in parentheses, I have free market with a spiritual component. Another belief of the movement is that capitalism, this free market system that we have, is flawed because of the materialistic myth that wealth is not created, but just transferred. They believe it to be a system of slavery and environmental pollution. However, our system, no matter what things look like, was still rooted in Christianity and rooted in the premise that in a free market society, we have to be creative and we have to live by an effort of self-sacrifice without hoarding and sharing of wealth. And so that's kind of what dominion looks like. It doesn't look like a society that hoards. It doesn't look like a society that's for itself. It looks like a society that's a self-sacrificing society. It looks like a society that shares wealth. If you remember in the book of Acts, when Christians became Christians, they shared wealth. And those who hoarded were killed. We have that example in the book of Acts. In a speech on November 11th, 1947, Sir Winston Churchill reminded the United Kingdom's House of Commons that democracy is the worst form of government except for all those others we have tried or that have been tried. In a similar fashion, capitalism is the worst economic system except for all the others. The Marxist idea that there must be a redistribution of material wealth negates the fact that a good God gave it to us in the first place. So it's steeped, which is what I meant previously, in an atheist worldview. Alicia Garza and Patrice Cullors are trained Marxists who want to disrupt then the basic unit of the family. They want to disrupt the system and the family. Alicia Garza describes herself as a queer social justice activist and Marxist. These ladies were founders of Black Lives Matter. She is married, this is Alicia Garza, she is married to her husband, who is a transgendered neo-activist. They reject our system, they reject the nuclear family, and they foster a queer-affirming network. One of their goals is to free us, free themselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. Now, granted, as I said, our system ain't perfect, far from it, but it is the best we have. Injustices, yes. Unfairness, yes. Equal justice under the law, not always. And so, what do we do? Do we support the overthrow of what God made good? Or do we work to restore and rework the processes so that our nation looks like the Christianity ushered in by Christ? Does that mean, again, we don't protest? No. Does that mean we don't support Black Lives Matter? No. Do we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater? No. Does it mean that we critically think through what we are doing? Yes. Do you support a system of communism where there is no private property and no organized religion? Do you support the ultimate goal to establish a godless society? You see, in a world of sin, without a supreme God, then how do you maintain a moral society? Because y'all know, I need somebody to look to for my morals. I don't know about you. I need somebody that I can look to for my ethics. I don't know about you. Where do the people get their ethics and value then? From each other? Really? Look at some place like North Korea, where there is very little freedom. There is no loyalty or belief in God acknowledged by the government, but loyalty is to the government. Y'all try messing with King Jong-un. If you want to mess with him, you'll write yourself a death sentence. You think there's worth and value in the people? I'm just using them for as an example. In the people of North Korea? Far from it. But in the Christian worldview, every person has intrinsic value and worth because we are made in the image of God. And so the question is, in the society in which we live, how do we begin to realize this fact? I know this is not an easy subject, but I hope that I've made it a little bit more clear. So according to then the Black Lives Matter movement, the working class, which is us, becomes the power, which is supposed to then overturn or overthrow the dominant white people. And then we become this utopia, this perfect society. But you know, and I know, that will never, ever be. So really, do you all think we can just ditch the police department? People going crazy now, shooting one another. Law enforcement is in place for a reason. Does that mean we don't have to work in systems to dismantle the injustices that are present? No, it does not mean that. But it means I know that we have to be very, very creative in how we do it. I was listening to a professor from Northwest University who was talking about the fact that maybe something creative is that every police officer ought to carry liability insurance, just like doctors and nurses a lot of times. You have issues with injustice, you have issues with excessive force, your premiums go up. And eventually you become a liability to the insurance company and you are out of a job. But now, police officers, I'm just using them as an example. They're not the only group of where injustices exist. But they have so many protections from the police union that it's hard to break through that. But maybe we have to find creative ways in order to get rid of some of those protections. And so we did some of that here in Colorado. And I can say that in Littleton, they don't want to abide by the reforms that were just enacted by the state legislators. They want to provide police protections. What does that say? What does that say about our communities? And what does that say to our communities of color? They have so many protections now, which is how those Aurora police officers in the death of Elijah McClain may get their jobs back. They may get their jobs back. So, in our system, I just want to make it clear, I'm not partial. Just because this is Marxism, or what we would call neo-Marxism today on the extreme left, because as I said, we have some things that are taking place in places like Littleton, Colorado, where the leaders in Douglas County, who are Republican, want to get rid of Tri-County Health because they don't want to wear masks for the public safety of all of us. Can you believe, and so many of them, so many people who don't want to wear a mask would call themselves Christians? Come on, a mask for 20 minutes in the grocery store because this is a quote unquote free country with a free market, and we can do what we want to do. But they forgot that with freedom comes responsibility. With dominion comes responsibility. This is not a political issue, but it's a humanity issue. Yet some might call. Some might call this, well, that's the wrong thing that I wrote. This is a political issue. This is not a political issue. It's a humanity issue. And it's an issue of public health. That's what I want to say. An issue of public health. An issue of being self-sacrificing and caring about your fellow human beings. So, how would I kind of sum up this message? It's like many things we are confronted with. We have to wear a Christian lens and then decide how we should live as best we can in light of the evidence, in a way that glorifies a great God revealed in Scripture. We also have a responsibility to be salt and light for the world, because how else can anybody know? How else can our young people know that they can embrace a Savior if we stand for nothing and fall for everything? That's why this world ought to get more and more challenging for every Christian. It is not easy living in this world today. It is not easy being confronted with the things we are confronted with. But still, God is short of, he is nothing short of amazing, y'all. He is nothing short of amazing. He loves us still as he watches his creation act the fool sometimes. Still, we have to shout to the Lord and give him all power and majesty and praise his name. Like I had said last week, his name will generate praise even if from an infant who has not yet even mastered the language. God is just awesome. And I don't know about you, but he is the talk of my life. You know? So why go through this? Why go through this? God has given us, again, dominion in this world and dominion in the systems that we have. Do I necessarily like them? No. Do I necessarily feel like they're in the best interest of everyone? Do I feel like they provide equal justice? Not necessarily. Do we have to work creatively in this market? Yes, we do. How we do that is up to us. How we do that is up to us. Do we just ignore the social justice issues? No, we don't. We can't. So it's a system that has some deep, you know, it's almost like a Pandora's box. That when you open it, it has tentacles that are everywhere. And it's like you can't pull up the tentacles all at once, but you gotta work on each one of them one at a time. Mostly what we're gonna have to do is we have to give all glory to our God, because one day he's coming back for us. We know there won't be a utopia, because you know what happens in a utopia, right? You know the people in power are going to eventually want to oppress the people who they tried to or said that they were going to free. So that won't work. All I want us to do is to really think about how far we go with certain movements. Even though it may not become clear, we have to put on that God lens as we look out and as we assess what line do we want to cross. Where are we going to support, and where are we going to draw the line? And so just as I just said a little bit ago, God is totally awesome and the talk of my life. And he ought to be the talk of your life. And so I say, as David ended this psalm, Lord, our Lord, how excellent, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So you ought to praise God. Even in the midst of our struggles, even in the midst of these tough times, and ask him to give us the creative power in order to put systems in place, in order to dismantle certain things, and all of it to point toward him. That's our lesson for today on Psalm 8. Oof. You know, sometimes I don't know about any of you, but I'm just here to tell you, God's word ain't easy. It's not easy to swallow. It's not easy to preach. And I will share with you. I do not think that there are many preachers and teachers equipped to really bring a truthful message to God's people in this way, because we're just not that well informed. It's kind of, we just gloss over certain things. And I don't think that in this time and with these protests that things should be glossed over, that you deserve the best of what God can do through me. Like I said, I'm not an expert. We might even debate certain points, which is fine, but at least I put it out there. So again, that you could make an informed choice about certain things. So I'm not limiting it Black Lives Matter. It's everything. It's our leadership. It's everything. You always have to make an informed choice, because we have been given this dominion. And again, with dominion comes responsibility. That's our lesson for today. And so, still, I would invite each one of you to just begin to pray. Maybe you want to even pray in a different vein than what you've been praying. Maybe the prayer is different for our world. Maybe because of a little bit more information, you want to direct your prayers in a certain way. But still, as usual, our prayer is that people can come to know who God is. People can come to know a Savior who wants to embrace them, who wants to forgive, who wants to love them, who wants to give them joy, who wants to do all of those things that we embrace because we have a great an awesome God. So we're going to pray, and Deacon Mike is going to pray for us. I know we have quite a few things in the chat, and I don't want to gloss over any of it. And so if you've got something that you need prayer for, I just invite you to put that in the chat at this point. We want to be good stewards of all that God gave us, even in the imperfect government and times in which we live.
Okay, Marilyn, we're going to play the song first and then go into the final prayer. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll do the song first, and then Larry's going to do the closing prayer today.
Okay. You mean the prayer for the disciples? For the
prayer
request?
Yeah,
okay. Sure.
Not the vendor.
Yep.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
As you listen to the song, I just want you to think about who God is. amen. Thank you all for listening today. Well, go ahead, Larry. I lost my train of thought. You're going to pray.
No worries. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as the song just said, nothing compares to the promise that we have in you. Lord, let the mountains resound and every hill and every valley be filled with the praises of your people, Lord, because you are truly a good God, a God that is above all others and that who is always amazing and excellent and superior and above all other gods. Oh God, our times are in your hands. We ask that you would look with favor on your people, Lord, because without you we could do nothing. But your word says that with God all things are possible. So Lord, we ask that you would simply give your people a mind to pray for discernment, Lord, to understand what is your will for our lives and for our city and our state and this country, Lord, so that we can participate in processes that will change this country and change its systemic problems, Lord, racism that goes throughout society, but do it in a way that would be pleasing to you. We pray for your people this day, Lord, that you would simply provide us with direction. Without your direction, Lord, we would devolve into chaos, Lord, and we would support things that we should not support. Lord, we are for improving our society, for eliminating injustice, but we're not for creating chaos and having godless Marxism as the theme of our country. God forbid that we should go down that path. But where movements would allow us to join with them to seek godly change, to lift you up as we promote the dignity of every human being, Lord, and that we uphold the principles of equality and of justice and of righteousness, Lord, that you have given us ever since you gave dominion to your creation in the form of Adam and Eve, Lord. Let us take with that dominion the true responsibility that goes with it, and that responsibility is to behave in such a manner that is pleasing to you. We pray that you would support us, O God, lift us up, uphold us, comfort us in these perilous and troublesome times, Lord, where there is so much disturbance and so much noise in the air, Lord, that sometimes we're distracted and don't hear and don't seek diligently enough, but thus saith the Lord. Help us to be patient and to be persistent in reading your word, Lord, and in our prayer life and in our fasting and in our worship, that we might be led by a true and a just and an honest God who loves each and every one of us. God, our times are in your hands. And we know that you have said in your word that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to your purpose. We want to make these prayer requests known, Lord. We pray for Johnny Burks, the son of Trivia Harris, who is hospitalized and may be undergoing surgery as we speak. We want to continue to pray for Melisha Missy Lewis, who is has been hospitalized and underwent surgery and is recovering. We want to continue to pray for her recovery, Lord, and for comfort for that family. We want to pray for Pastor Marilyn's mom, Flo Powell, who was hospitalized in Virginia. And Lord, we know that she has suffered a stroke, but we are glad that she has shown some signs of getting back to normal. She is talking and is able to identify her daughters. So God, we just give you thanks, first of all, for doing what only you can do, Lord. And we pray a prayer of faith for her healing and for her complete recovery, that she might be able to go home and give you all of the praise and glory that you so deserve. We pray for our brother Don Slay, who is in Veterans Hospital. God, we don't know what the situation is or what his condition is, but we do know that we serve a God who is able to heal these bodies that you created. We pray for Leroy Pugh, who is undergoing chemotherapy and also radiation for cancer. God, once again, we know that you can do all things well, and so we pray the prayer of faith that says, we know that you can heal and you can fix and you can repair and you can restore to where your people, your creation is made as good as new. And we pray for our sister Christina, Lord, who has asked for the discernment and the ability to make informed and wise choices to be able to correctly choose the path that you would have her to stay on. Lord, and that's a prayer for all of us, that we would seek your face and seek your direction and know that we are doing what it is that you would have us to do, Lord, because we know you have a purpose and a goal and an intent for every one of your children. We thank you, we praise you, Lord, and if there is anyone that is out of the ark of safety this day, Lord, we ask that you would just touch that individual's heart, that they may want to come and seek you. If there is some that wants to join Antioch Community Church, Lord, we welcome any and all people of all races and all colors, Lord, and we welcome them with open arms, as we should do as your people. Bless your people, Lord. Lead us in a direction that you would have us go, and save us from the evil one, Lord, that we might be a light in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we may be, Lord. Let us be salt and light, that we might further your kingdom, and that we might make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, has taught us. You've said in your word, lo, you are with us always, even until the ends of the earth. We ask these things humbly and with gratitude and hearts filled with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, let everyone say.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate those prayers. Thank you. And so, as you all heard Larry say, my mom had a stroke, and she's in intensive care. But she has movement of every extremity. In fact, she walked into the emergency department. Her speech, Amen. Though, was affected. And so she'll be on a rehab road. And I'm just thankful that God was able to do what he did in such a short period of time. And so if you would just keep her lifted up in prayer, I would really appreciate that. I don't have to go home at this point, and my sisters are there. And if you would pray for their strength as well, I would appreciate that. And so thank you all for being part of this worship service. And Mike, you can unmute everyone, and I just pray that I've given you some clarity around certain issues. And I just appreciate, there's some, somebody's got feedback.